Okay, order. Order in the court here.
Mitchell?
Here.
Store?
Here.
Summers?
Here.
Weibel? Clemens?
Here.
Clifford?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Cowart?
Present. Okay, we need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of minutes for March 9th, 2018.
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Public participation.
Any public participation there, cheap seat guys?
Wake up over there.
That was your one chance. Now you got to be quiet.
Let the record know that public participation was sought.
Okay, communication from the committee. We're going into the county and township motor fuel tax claim for March 2018. Need approval?
Yep, we do.
Motion approved.
Second.
Moved in second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're going to go to the county engineer's report.
All right, the first four items on your agenda were brought to us through RPC, so I'm going to let them go through those.
Good morning. My name is Kristen DeZondi. I have known Zoe, who's in the position before me. I'm the HSTP coordinator now for Region 8 in Illinois. So, first on our agenda is the revised intergovernmental agreement between CUMTD and Champaign County. The reason we updated this intergovernmental agreement is because our grant applications were coming up, and at the bottom, the allocated cost changes per year, so we needed to update that so we can include the updated intergovernmental agreement in our grant application. But the main change was the fully allocated cost at the bottom.
Hold on. So it went down?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's based on wages and cost of living.
Thank you. I think you want to do each, do them one at a time. So.
Okay.
So we need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved to second. Do we have any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right, next item.
The next change we had was the RTAG bylaws. The RTAG is what oversees C-CARTS, which is the rural transit provider in Champaign County and in Rantoul. We wanted to change that bylaw to allow members to appoint alternate members, because we have had problems with getting quorum in the past. And we also added that those alternates would be allowed to vote, and they would count towards quorum. They do not have to appoint an alternate member, but they have that option.
Do these need to be approved?
Yes. I move to approve.
I seconded, but I'd like to comment.
Okay.
I was reading through this, and I kind of, well, boy, we're really kind of hitting bottom here. That's an exaggeration. We're really kind of setting a pretty low standard. Do you have some idea why we're, why members don't, or are failing to attend the meeting?
We have a very small group of seven people, so that has something to do with us.
This is people who work on other agencies, so sometimes they have other meetings, they have other commitments, or volunteer, then it's difficult to get people to attend.
And, but I think all you need is like four people, is a simple majority, which...
Yeah.
And...
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, I'm actually one of the drivers behind this, because I recognize that we've recognized the problem for quite some time. And this is just one way of dealing with it. There are some other boards that have a similar situation or allow that too, so it's practicality. You gotta do something, go and get things done.
Jim?
How are the alternates selected?
I think, my name's Jim.
They're chosen by the member.
Hmm?
They're chosen by the member.
Okay.
Well, I guess I understand that. There's always an issue with time, and we're on a lot of different boards. I guess I see a problem with this, especially with the mention of other boards. I'm not sure the makeup of this board. If some of the people are supposed to be elected officials, and then they're asking other people to show up for them, who those other people might be, whether they're elected or not, and then if other boards decide they can't make a quorum, and then they're changing their rules, and whether they're supposed to be elected officials. I don't want this to become precedent-setting.
Well, I mean, most boards have rules most boards are crafted on some, whether it's state statute or how it's organized, first place, that may allow that or not allow that. So it's not every board can do that. And we also point out that all that has to be voted on by the board also, correct? Is that part of it? So everybody has to agree to that. So it's not like, and also they will be, you can't just say, I'm going to appoint Steve to come to the meeting today. It's going to be done ahead of time. So it's, you know, obviously it's done in a logical manner. I don't know, I don't think there's any structure as far as saying certain people are elected officials. I think it was just sort of set up that way.
It's seven members from different, I think it's low-income, employment, certain sections.
Right.
Yeah, and so far we've only had one suggestion for an alternate, and that is, it is somebody at Parkland, and it was the person directly below him. So they're still in that industry. So they still
understand that. How far short of a quorum do you guys fall?
In the past, what we have done is any time that we are not able to have the quorum in advance, we reschedule the meeting, and reschedule the meeting when we are able to get the number of people that we need. Because we try to
accommodate. Let me repeat. How far short? I mean, is it like one person short, or two?
Usually it's one person. Because we need to have four, and usually three show up. There are always three people that show up, for sure. And one of them is a senior that has nothing else to do, and she enjoys coming to the meeting.
Well, let's be careful about
that.
You're touching on a sensitive issue there.
No. I'm just saying that because she said that to me. Like, you know, I enjoy coming to these meetings. I have nothing else to do. If I can help you to recruit other seniors, I will be happy to, but the fact that we have to work with different agencies or different organizations does not allow us to do that.
Could we put a limitation on the number of alternates? Or would that be, I'd hate to see a board made up mostly of alternates.
Alternates are only used when they're needed.
I understand.
You know, it's sort of like they're vice alternates or vice members. So it's not likely you can have, if everybody says they're going to be absent, you know, it's possible, not likely though. I mean, we're trying to get things done.
I understand.
It's hard. When we were on the Community Action Board, Lorraine and I were, for a year, we struggled with getting people to show up, and it's getting a lot better now. Lisa Benson has probably worked harder than their chairman worked last year, but, and I was a chairman, to find people to show up.
Throw yourself under the bus, go ahead.
It's difficult, it really is difficult, so I understand it. But I hate to see, maybe if the alternates, and you're saying they're trying to get alternates from the facility or organization.
I mean, they are voted on by the board, so the board has to okay them. That board has to okay them, so.
Okay. Have to get the work done.
Okay, call for the question.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Great. Next item.
Our next item is changing our Title VI. That is the anti-discrimination on age, sex, gender, race, ethnicity, etc. Our last one was done in July 2014, so there were a lot of changes that we needed to make. In particular, we needed to change the name from Champaign County Rural Mass Transit District to now C-CARTS, which is the name of this service. We had Chris Rural Mass Transit District as the operator, and now they are no longer the operator. We have CUMTD. And we added the word sex under FHWA regulations.
Motion approved.
Second.
So before discussion, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Right. One more time.
The next item we have is approving our grant applications for 5311 and DOE funding from the state and the federal level. Each spring we're required to submit an application, and it has a projected ridership, our coordination in the community, fairs, and any changes for the fiscal year, including the budget. And that application must be approved by the county board. So this year, I have a breakdown here for the federal, which is the 5311 funding, and that's for rural areas, and that's funding for people with low income or older people that would not otherwise be able to get transportation. And then we have the state, which is the operating funding. And then we have our service contract, which is from Rantoul. It is a full year as opposed to last fiscal year from Rantoul, because it started in November 2016. And we have our farebox revenue and our county contribution. So this is the difference between the two total.
Motion
budget
to approve.
And here we just have a budget variance. I have an explanation.
Need another coffee.
You want it?
Sure, give me the explanation.
Okay.
So second?
I'll second.
Okay.
For materials and supplies, that was just an increase in trends for the last 6 months. Fuel prices rising and the fleet ages, so it needs more maintenance. The miscellaneous expenses is a little harder to track. Sometimes those expenses, especially with the grant changes, certain line items are pulled into different areas, so that causes miscellaneous expenses to change. And then leases and rentals, it reduced because we paid off the furniture in the area where we keep the vehicles.
Do you have a target on your vehicles, when they need to be cycled out on mileage?
Sure, so I can keep it a little bit. The state has certain guidelines. I believe it's 8 years or 150,000 miles on the vehicle. All of the C-CARTS vehicles are obtained through a combined vehicle procurement from the state. And so once a vehicle reaches either one of those thresholds, we can apply to have it replaced. And so then at that point, IDOT's interested in keeping the older vehicle in service. They can typically, what they'll do is they'll ask around.
Can you buy warranties that'll cover 150?
I'm not aware of that. The warranty that comes with them currently is like the typical 3-year, something like that, how many miles specifically. I don't believe you can purchase any further warranty on those. I've never heard of anyone doing that.
No.
Yeah.
Can we go back to funding sources? Thank you. Revenue source. How confident do you feel in the state funding? And then the service contracts, how well is the ridership increasing?
The ridership has been increasing for months. We just got the March, and it increased 100 riders from February. So it is a significant
increase. And the state funding, what's the chances of, are we up to date? Are we increasing? What are your chances of thinking, what are our chances of getting the money?
Roll the dice.
Oh, I hope not.
Are we up to date at least, or do we know? Where are we? Do we have an idea?
Excuse me.
State is a big question.
Getting back to Jim's question, I mean, did they pay last year or the year before?
They have paid last year. This year, we haven't received any payments yet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nothing yet.
What's the chances the county is going to pay you? No. Sorry.
Survive without that 6,000.
Since the state is a significant part of your budget, what's your alternatives?
We don't have any. We are just relying on MTD to support us for a year. They have agreed to that, to support running SIGCARTS for a year. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll get the funding from the state.
So you can carry, liabilities with the MTD?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right here.
I think it's been a very good relationship, both with RPC to help us with this program for the rural areas, technically, and then with MTD, because they've went out and worked to get grants to help pay for some of these things. And then they carried us for a long time for payment when the state wouldn't pay. If people live in rural areas who want to stay in their homes, that are older, want to be able to get to the doctor, aren't able to drive, if we had to close it, then they'd have to figure out how their family's going to come and help them do that. So it's a good program, and we have good partners. And if we can build more capacity in Rantoul for transportation to get people back and forth to where the jobs are, which are on the west side of town rather than the where the people are on the east side of town, cheaper way, then it's a good program. So everybody's kind of working together, and I think we'll get through it. So it's good. It's positive.
Mr. McGuire.
Yes.
So I guess I just wanted to add, so we have been in contact. I mean, we're working with the village administration currently, actually, kind of what the next round of service would look like. So we have been kind of working with them and pretty close to see if the service as it's operating currently, that agreement goes through the end of this coming November. And so we've been working with them, you know, what that next iteration would kind of look like. So.
Okay, good. Thank you. Well, there we go. Oh, we get a vote on that. Yep. Did we have a final vote on the last one?
Nope.
Nope. Shall we?
Cool. You had a motion and a second, but we have no vote.
Okay. Any more discussion, first of all? None. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
That cover everything?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to the Highway Department agenda items.
Are you having all three of those go under that one motion?
Are you having your ordinance and all of that go under the same?
Under the same.
Under the same resolution?
Which 47 is the next one.
Move on to item 12, petition requesting resolution approving appropriation of funds for Harwood Township. We have a petition from Aaron from Harwood Township to replace a culvert which is in poor condition. Estimated cost is going to be around $22,000. There's a map included in there that shows you that the culvert is on Township Road 3400 North. It doesn't really show you where that is in the realm of the world of Champaign County, but Ludlow would be up to your northwest and Gifford would be down to your southeast. So it's kind of in between Ludlow and Gifford. We propose a 12x4 box culvert to replace the current metal pipe that is rotted out in there now. So I would ask for your approval of that petition and resolution.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next is a petition from Jim Prather, Urbana Township. The amount of $25,000 to repair a bridge which is on Perkins Road in Urbana Township. In a recent bridge inspection done in March, we found a severely deteriorated H-piling underneath the abutment, which needs to be basically what we're going to do is dig down 5 feet, and we're going to cut the old H-piling out, and we're going to splice in a new piece in order to keep the bridge functional. And I've actually gone ahead and had the plans drawn up by a structural engineer. They're out for quotes right now because this is something that the state said, if you don't get it fixed in a month, we're going to send a letter and basically restrict the loads on the bridge, because that's about how fast they could move. So if I can stay ahead of them, we won't have to restrict the bridge, which the township would prefer not to have to restrict the bridge. So we're moving forward with the project, hoping that, you know, obviously the funding would be approved, but I didn't want to wait until April 20th to start the process. So there won't be any work done before it's approved, but I will have the quotes. And we're just doing quotes because it's going to be under $30,000. I sent it out to 5 different contractors who do our bridge work, have done our bridge work over the last 5 years, to get a quote from them. We'll be accepting quotes until next Friday, and at that time we'll open them up and award it, and they'll get their stuff together and get going on it. So I would ask for your approval.
I move to approve.
Second.
Been moved and second. It's open for discussion.
So you just, I'm assuming you do just earth ex to determine that this piling is sound 5 feet down. Then you, okay. Thank you.
We're assuming it's sound. Here's, if you want a quick look at pictures, you can see it's not sound where it's unearthed.
Oh my gosh.
It's in pretty bad shape.
Sorry.
I'm going to answer this immediately.
Okay.
I mean,
but you're making the assumption you've not done any earth ex or anything to go down and. Okay. All right.
That's been basically the reason those typically rust is because they get water on them, they have air on them. It's
a exposed portion.
Right, it's exposed portion.
Okay, all right.
The township didn't do their due diligence in making sure that was filled up to the bottom of the abutment.
Well, they will now.
And yeah, now they will. Well, actually, we're going to fill it in with concrete.
Okay.
After we fix it, we're just going to fill the void up with concrete. And there's a pipe culvert that runs down the side of that bridge, which had been plugged, so the water was shooting over the top of it and just washing the earth out around it. So
it was probably cardinal.
Yeah, that's what we're replacing. Pretty bad. So this is the bottom of the abutment. This is the piling. We see it's all rotted. So we're going to come down here, dig out, splice on a new piece, and then fill all this in. Kind of
okay, so this will be covered two ways.
Yes. Yeah, all the way over to here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So when you do your, when you do the excavation to splice on a new part of the H pile, I mean, that can kind of be, has to be done at a particular time when you don't have rain and it's...
Well, it's going to have to be done by hand because there's no way to get a piece of equipment in there. So it's going to be...
Piece of equipment in there.
Yeah, they're not going to have much fun doing it, but yeah, they're going to have to get laborers. No, it's too steep. There's really no way to get in there. So it's literally going to be hand dug. So I don't know how long it's going to take them. It's going to be a lot of labor.
A little while.
Huh?
A little while.
A little while. And honestly, if we go down 3 feet and find good piling, we may just say that's good enough, you know, but we want them to go down 5 in our specifications because we're pretty sure once we get down 5, it'll be good enough. But if we dig out 3 feet, we got a really solid piling, we may say, okay, we're good. Let's cut it there so that they don't have to just dig and dig and dig. So.
I've heard that before.
I've done that before.
Any more discussion?
Is this posing any immediate concern? I mean, you said that you're working ahead of the highway.
Right.
And
it does pose immediate concern. Actually, he's got a barricade on the bridge now keeping the traffic off of that side of the bridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was
just for the short term until we can get there and get it fixed.
I sure hope. Kind of get fixed in a timely way and that they'll try to do a better job of maintenance.
Yes, well, he knows now. Yes, definitely. We have May 11th as a completion date for the fix of the pile.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That soon?
Yep. If somebody can't complete it by May 11th, we're not going to accept their quote.
Wow.
It should only take them a week or two once they get there.
This is a rainy period.
Yeah, well, they're under a bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get her done. Yeah, it's not like this abutment is way above the stream. I mean, any kind of rain you get is not going to bring the water up to the abutment. I mean, if you stand on top of this bridge, it's how far? You were 25 feet down in the stream. It's a high bridge. So he'll be able to do the work regardless of the... We might lose the town if this thing flooded out.
Which town is it?
Urbana.
Well, let's see. Is that good? No.
Okay, any more discussion?
Again, going steady downhill. This trajectory is steep now.
Sorry.
Okay, it's been moved in second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I don't think you're going to lose it, Dana. I like it, Dana, anyway.
Good. Next item. Michelle handed out clipped papers. This resolution has been amended since it was sent out in the board packet. This is the stop sign replacement program. Originally, IDOT had told us that we would be the bidder of this project, and we would pay the contractor and then get reimbursed from the state, which kind of always makes everybody sitting around this table a little nervous, right? We weren't going to do it as a traditional federal-funded bridge or project. But they've changed their mind now, as they tend to do. Now they want to do it as we do it traditionally, where they bid it, they pay the contractor, they bill us. So it's a 90-10 project, which means 90% federal dollars, 10% local. So now it will be on the June letting. IDOT will award the contract to the contractor. Obviously, it will oversee the installation of the stop signs. And IDOT will pay the contractor, and they will bill us for our 10% share. Excellent. The original resolution was the other way around. We had to pay the whole thing up front. We'd bill IDOT for their 90%, and they would repay us.
So same to me.
This is better.
Yes.
It slows us down a little bit because we have to wait for their letting, their process. So we may not get them all in before harvest is going, which was kind of my intent. But not much I can do about that. When you let it in June, typically you don't get a contract till about the 1st of August. So then the contractor could start doing the work.
It should go relatively quickly, though.
It should. They should be able to hit it pretty, depending on how many people they put on, and if they just got one crew and they got to do 300 intersections, it could take them a while. But if they got a few crews and they get stuff sent in to Julie, and because they're going to have to Julie every intersection, you know, it's going to be a process.
I move to approve.
Second.
Okay, so for discussion.
Get Tyus.
Where will the bidding take place? At the Paris office?
No, in Springfield.
Springfield, okay.
Who maintains the stop signs and?
Those guys.
Okay.
Once they're up, they're the maintenance responsibility of the town.
So.
Jeff.
What sort of maintenance are we likely to face on these?
Keep them straight, right?
Yeah, I mean, stop signs, if they don't get shot or knocked over, will last 10 years.
So
as far as their, you know, the reflectability.
I mean, vandalism?
But typically, the life of the stop sign doesn't last that long because they either get hit with a piece of equipment, they get shot, what have you.
Or end up in a bomb, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is this likely to, what I'm kind of hearing here is that we'll probably face an additional ongoing expense in maintenance and repair.
Yeah.
Is this, you think that we can kind of manage that in our budget?
It's their budget. I won't be paying for it. We're paying for the initial installation, but they're going to pay to maintain them over the life forever of the signs. The township guys. I'm pointing over there. Tracy's not one.
What do you guys think?
Yes.
Chris has got stop signs at every intersection already, right?
All but two.
So what's been your experience with how?
Actually, 25 years ago, we had a real problem with kids. Within the last few years, we must have a new bunch of kids around and don't care. We don't have any problem with vandalism anymore.
They moved down my way.
So really, it's not an issue unless there's an accident, for the most part.
Okay.
That's what it is.
How many stop signs are we talking about?
600.
Mm-hmm. 600 stop signs?
Yep. So about 300 intersections that don't have any stop control currently. So we're talking about intersections that have no stop signs, so we're going to put up a two-way stop at each of those intersections.
And let's hope that people...
Mm-hmm. Well, it provides for right-of-way. Because people don't really understand right-of-way anymore for whatever reason. Either they don't want to, they don't want to slow down, they don't care, whatever. Whether we want to put somebody at fault, somebody will actually be at fault and understand why they're at fault if there is an accident at an intersection.
They don't like to stop at stop signs in the city.
I know.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I think you're putting a little bit of burden on some of these townships that don't have the funds to do this, to keep up with the maintenance. I mean, you get down in Crittenden.
Yeah.
Guys go around and shoot them, spray paint them.
But we know that about every 10 years, somebody comes along with some program to typically replace signs. I'm not going to sit here and swear that's going to happen, but that's kind of been the way things have gone. No. Because they have to be furnished and installed. So I can't get extra signs, per se.
Thanks.
Do the county have townships when they can't, they have a monetary problem, don't they?
Typically on bridge projects, though. I mean, yeah, we help them in a varying different ways, but we don't typically buy signs for them. Now, what we could do is, once we get 5 years into this, we could do a large signed bid, you know, every year. We've never done that in the past, and I've thought about maybe we need to do that so that we get a better price
on a bigger quantity of signs, especially stop signs, because every, you know, that's a typical sign. Yeah, I mean, we keep 10 on hand here, something like that. When we get down to only having two or three, we get 10 more. But we've never done 200 or 300 in a given year. But you can't just keep them sit in inventory either, because they're only good for 10 years. And if you leave it in inventory for 5 years, that means you only got 5 years of life left in the sign, based on the manufacturer's warranty.
Even if you have a damaged sign or a sign that's gone past 10 years, it's better to have that in an intersection than nothing at all. So, and like you alluded to, hopefully there'll be some grant money that'll be out there in that period of time where we can provide them at a cost that will allow the townships to be able to go ahead and swap them out to some level. So anyway, I think it's better than what we got.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Yeah, yes.
So we got, two nays?
I'm sorry, there were two?
Yep.
Okay, for you. Okay, sorry. I heard we're at that.
He's so loud. Yeah.
All right, next item. Resolution appropriating county highway funds for the improvement of Staley Road. Staley Road is one of the roads that was presumed damaged by the Ameren Highline project, where we got, as you recall, if you were on the committee last year, we received a check from Ameren for $1,041,000 for damage to our roadways during their rivers project. And we got that money late enough in the season where really didn't have time to budget for it appropriately in the 2017 budget. I knew that I wanted to do something with Staley Road, but we didn't have time to put together plans and kind of come up with a real estimate of what it would cost. And the reason I want to do something with Staley Road now is because that money was given to us because they damaged Staley Road. Plus, we got the whole big, you know, Carl complex going in out there. And I'd like to get ahead of that, get the road up to snuff before all those people start going there all the time. So this actually wasn't in the budget. So, Mr. Summers, I've got a $900,000 budget amendment going to the Finance Committee on Tuesday night. But it's money that we got from Ameren last year that just wasn't put into the budget because we didn't have the time frame in order to put it in. So of that $1,041,000, we're looking at using $900,000 of it on Staley Road to do this project. It's going to go from Monticello Road up to Curtis Road. Hot in place recycling with an asphalt overlay. So we'll have a 15 to 20 year road.
Monticello Road to Curtis Road?
That's our portion. Once you get north of Curtis, the city of Champaign.
Okay, it's been moved.
I'll second.
Second.
I'm sorry, who is the move?
Before discussion, Max.
How soon would this be annexed?
We have a fringe road agreement with the city of Champaign that says once they annex a half a mile on either side of the roadway along a county highway, that it would become, the road would become the property or jurisdiction of the city. They haven't gone that far yet. I'm going to assume it's not going to be too much farther away. They'll probably go a mile farther down, maybe down to Old Church. But it also says in that agreement that we have to bring the roadway up to a certain level of service before they'll take it. So if we get the road up to that level of service and in the next 5 years they want to take it, we're already there.
Okay.
Basically. So it's not like we're doing something that they would do if we waited for them. We still would have to bring it up to a certain level of service for them to take it.
I've been on that road lately. Does it have shoulders already? Or you added aggregate shoulders?
Yeah, it's got like 6 foot shoulders. It's got good shoulders.
Good. Thank you. Is this money that is going directly How did this, this money's from Ameren, did,
yes.
and it went
into
the
highway
fund.
Fund? Yes.
Okay, it didn't go into general revenue and
no.
then to, no.
no. No, it was money in the highway fund, so it's sitting in our funds waiting to be allocated for a project.
Okay, all right. And then, all right.
So right now we show a pretty large fund balance in the highway fund, and a lot of it is due to the fact that we got $1 million from Ameren last year to rebuild roads that they, you know, did some damage to, and now we're going to do it.
Okay, was this adequate? Do you feel like this was adequate compensation for the...
I was tickled pink when we got the money, to be honest with you.
You weren't expecting...
I remember that. He was surprised.
Yeah. He was expecting
I was expecting like $400,000 and I got $1 million. I asked for $1 million and I thought they would negotiate. And I think a lot of the guys sitting here, he thought the same thing. He made a big ask and they paid it. And we were like, really?
That's good how it works.
You didn't ask for enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all based on our pavement management system and the deterioration of the roadway based on when they, before they started the project, after they started the project. So it was all engineering based. We had a lot of statistics behind it, so they really couldn't refute it. So.
I didn't see a map or, you know, of that in here.
I just kind of figured everybody knew where Staley Road was, so I didn't make a map.
Okay. I too know. I was just didn't know what section.
It's from Monticello up to Curtis Road.
And that is in the District 5 County Board.
Congratulations.
That's the motion, right?
I guess we know who's pushing them.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And I plan to be at the Tuesday Committee of the Whole in case there's questions about that budget amendment, which there probably will be, based on what I heard the conversations were concerning the truck at the last board meeting.
Oh,
yeah.
Good job. I thought that Steve did a really good job.
That's all Deb Busey, really. I was glad we had an opportunity to talk for a little while before the meeting started so I could get some clarification. Thank you.
Yep. Next item, 16, resolution for contract award authority for the two bridges on County Highway 11. We passed resolutions for both of these bridges back in June of 2017. They're on the Flatville slab between 45 and Flatville. I've done a resolution for contract award authority simply because the steel industry is kind of an unknown right now, you know, to say the least. If we wait too long, we might not be able to get the steel. The steel prices might go through the roof. Nobody knows with all the tariff stuff going on what's going to happen. But the sooner we can award these, the better off we're going to be. I plan on bidding them. What's our bid date for all that other stuff, Michelle?
May 1st.
So, and I don't want to wait till the end of the year to get county board authority to award it. I'd like to get them going so we can get them built this summer. Oftentimes, even without all the stuff that's surrounding the steel industry now, it takes a couple of months for them to get the steel girders in.
Sure.
And I don't want that to be the holdup so that the projects don't get done this year.
I move that we approve the resolution for contract award authority for section 17-4100BR and 17-4200BR.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Open for discussion. A
couple typos.
Yeah.
Now there it be resolved.
Extra you saying R I can't type? You've never seen me type with two fingers.
And then there's be it further resolved.
You're right.
And then CPICE Weibel is actually WEI. You should know that by now.
Man.
I am so glad you did that one.
Threw me right under the bus.
Oh, wow.
You do have a spell checker, don't you?
It won't do
capital.
It
doesn't do Weibel.
And it will not do capital. I mean, when anything's
it's
in.
Totally capitalized?
Yeah. Total capitalized spell check does not. Yeah, so that's where we run into
I have
that.
The same problem with my computer, too. Yeah,
it's my fingers.
Yeah, they're getting fat, I think.
Yeah.
All right, well, accept the typos. Thank you for understanding your name was spelled incorrectly.
You'll see it Tuesday, correct.
It is supposed to be I before E, except after C.
Well, yeah, that's just German.
All right, with the typos correct.
I know, I'm looking to make sure, is it on the one?
No, the other ones are right.
I did that.
Steve, did you want to say something?
No. No. Thank you.
Okay, well, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. The next items are also in your clipped paper because we had the bid after the timing of sending out the board agenda, but we have a resolution awarding materials from the plant, FOB. I'm going to send around a copy of, this is just a comparison of oil prices from last year to this year and where they fell. But the resolution is awarding the contract for the FOB oil. And the low bidder was Emulsicoat of Urbana, $205,304.06. So if we get a motion and a second, we can discuss.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, the move is second, open for discussion.
So you'll see here, we just did a quick spreadsheet that shows our estimate, our low bids, and then versus what we paid in 2017 for oil. Not a heck of a lot of change between 17 and 18. The bids were all well within reason, and most of them lower than what we had estimated. Some of it went up a little bit from last year. But there's all kinds of different oils here depending on how the townships would use it. We use the HFP oil, the furnished and spread, on the county system, that 40,000 gallons, which is the fifth line down. That's the county oil. And the other oils are for township use. And the resolution that we're currently acting on is all the FOB oil, which means it's basically... that's the price at the plant. So that's the price that the Emulsicoat is giving them to purchase it directly at their plant over on University Avenue. Anybody got any questions?
This is probably way beyond where I could understand it. Is there a way that you could standardize the oils? Or is that the townships?
As far as the different types of oils?
Well, that a recommended oil that's going to be the best for the...
No, because all these oils are used for different applications. Like the MC30, you guys use that as prime, right, on rock. Some of this oil is used to put into their Durapatching machine when they go out and patch roads. Some of the oil is used when they just do their standard seal coating operations.
Some are used like sealing cracks too, like that.
Yeah. Stuff. Some of it's really soft. If you got a really cracked up road, they'll use very soft oil so it gets down in those cracks and kind of heals the road back together. So there's no really one oil that works for every road. It just depends on what's going on with your road, which oil you use. Okay. Now on our roadways, since they're all hot mix asphalt, we use polymer modified emulsion on all of our roads. But their roads, 99% of them are old seal coat roads. They've been there forever. So depending on the shape of that road, they use whatever oil is appropriate.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Then the next resolution is the awarding of the contract for the furnish and spread to Ileana Construction from Urbana, $1,545,784.49. And that one. And that's the same spreadsheet. It's the top stuff that says F&S, which is furnished and spread. So the FOB oil, they'll buy it and use it for whatever their application is. The furnished and spread, we actually pay Ileana Construction. They buy the oil from Emulsicoat. They put it in their distributor. They spread it on the road, and that's the cost that's being paid in this furnished and spread bid.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion.
The township's just in making arrangements with Ileana decide when they need it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically.
Sort of as needed fitting the schedules.
Townships all work together and haul rock for each other when they're doing the seal coat operations. So they'll work with Ileana to kind of figure out which townships he's going to do and how he's going to work them all together. Okay. So yeah. We don't get involved with at all.
Yep.
We let them do their own thing.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Then the last resolution is awarding the contract for the pavement striping of various county highways. It's also in your paper clip because we did that on the same day as we did the oil letting. We actually did get two contractors to take out proposals. There was a company called Precision out of Chicago that turned in a bid, but they failed to provide a bid security, like a bid bond or a bid check, so we didn't include them in the bid tabulations. They were at least twice as much as Varsity on everything. Varsity Striping's a local, you know, female business.
Bless you.
Been doing our work forever. And we bid this on behalf of like Savoy and Mahomet Township. Some of the other local entities use this bid as well to get these prices for the striping of the roadways. You'll see it's less than 6 cents per foot. When we bid a project, say we bid a road project, if we were to put the striping in there as a bid item, we usually pay like 25 cents a foot. So this is a lot less expensive than if you do a small quantity on a particular contract. So I would ask for your approval of this resolution awarding the contract to Varsity Striping.
Move approval.
Second. Move and second. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right.
Okay, other business.
The only other business, we've got a whole bunch of jobs that we're going to be bidding here May 1st. A couple of them are the two bridges we talked about. A bunch of township work that we're doing. Staley Road job, assuming that the budget amendment is approved. And a pipe project for the county. So we'll have a lot of things to talk about and award in the May Highway Committee meeting. But when would that, will we make it on the agenda with those?
The meeting's May 11th.
Yeah, okay, so they should actually make it into your packet. So that's all I have.
Okay. There's no chair report. Designated items will be 5 through, what's that, 15?
8 through.
8 through 13.
18.
But the stop sign one was not unanimous.
To
so that has to go off. That gets pulled off. So number 14 would be on the regular agenda. Everything else would be on the consent agenda.
Is there anything else that needs to go in front of the committee? Okay, I declare it adjourned.
Thank you.
Same here. Yeah.